When you're looking for a hero to follow, choose Jesus. Take your cues from his life. Study his ways and learn his style. Watch how he handled difficult people and impossible situations, and then go there.
No matter how old you are or how long you've been following God and reading his word, all of us need to return to the basics from time to time. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to join him in a familiar passage of Scripture found in 1 John chapter 2. It's here the author outlines a clear-cut list of helpful guidelines for successful Christian living. So let's pull up a classroom chair and take some notes on what Chuck Swindoll has called family rules for little children.
You got your Bible open to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Here comes six simple rules for family living. Don't ever mess with stuff that gets you into trouble. This is the way John says it: my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, verse 1 ends with, and sliding on into verse 2, when you foul up, here's the second rule. Remember, you have somebody always in your corner. That's what this is teaching. Remember, you have somebody who is always in your corner. Capitalize the word somebody if you're writing this down. Look at how he puts it. I'm writing these things to you so that you won't get into trouble, so that you will stay away from sin. And if anyone sins, he goes right to the reality of the fact that most of us will fall into some kind of trouble. We'll make a mess out of something. So he says, if anyone sins, it's a third class condition, meaning maybe you will and maybe you won't, but you have a choice. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It means, if you will, a divine defense attorney. That's the way to think of it. If anyone sins, we have a divine defense attorney. He has been called alongside, meaning he is in our corner. And you know what's best of all? He can stand before God not to declare your innocence, but to declare your guilt and to say, but my death has acquitted him of the penalty. Isn't that great? Isn't that great truth? We have an advocate. We have someone in our corner who hung on the cross on our behalf, and now he stands in our defense, saying, I paid the price for him. And you know what happens as a result? Next verse, big word, he himself is the propitiation. Just write in the margin of your Bible, satisfaction. He is the satisfaction for our sins. The Father hears the plea and says, I'm satisfied. Case dismissed. Isn't that wonderful? The finished work of Christ satisfies the Father's righteous demands. Third rule for little children: behave yourself since you're a member of the family. How's that for a summary of verse 3? Behave yourself because you are, since you are a member of the family. This hardly needs any comment. Our actions speak louder than our words. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his teachings, his commands. The best proof that we know him is a life of obedience. I think John may have had a sudden flashback to the Last Supper where Jesus drove home that point. If you love me, you will do as I say. If you love me, you will live like you're loving me. If you love me, you will love one another just as I have loved you. If you love me, you will wash their feet just as I have washed yours. He's setting it all up as if and leaving in their minds that the obedience is revealed in actions, not words. By the way, you ever had your dad do that to you? Remember, son, you're a member of the family. Don't shame the family. I still remember that. You remember the Swindoll family. Don't bring down the name of the family by doing something that would break your mom and dad's heart. And that ties in with behave yourself, since you're a member of the family. Here's the fourth. No matter what you say, your actions tell the real truth. No matter what you say, your actions tell the real truth. Verse 4. The one who says, I've come to know him, but literally it should say, it could read, but does not keep on keeping his commandments, keeping his truths, obeying his teaching, is a liar. If you don't obey, even though you say you're obeying, you're a phony. We have a word for it that we learned from the scriptures, hypocrite. We're saying one thing, but we're living another thing. It's easy to live a lie. Goes on all the time, especially among adults. The man who says, I love my wife, but he has women on the side that he is having sex with. If he's involved in things that hurt his wife, treating her brutally or unfairly or without affection, he doesn't love his wife. His words are lies. You're a liar. Husbands who say, I love my wife, remain faithful to their wives. Treat them with dignity and respect and courtesy and kindness and, when necessary, with forgiveness. Otherwise, we don't love our wives. We just say we love. How about a fellow who says, I really love this team that I'm playing on, but he doesn't show up to all the practices. He doesn't pay attention when they're showing films. He doesn't treat the coach with respect. He doesn't love the team. He's in it for other reasons, but it isn't out of the love for the team. The point is obvious. Your actions really tell the truth, not your words. Think of it this way, our actions prove the truth of our words. Here's a fifth rule to remember for family members. Always remember our obedience reveals how much we respect our Father. Always remember our obedience reveals how much we respect our Father. See this fifth verse? Whoever keeps his word, here's the opposite of verse 4. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been brought to completion, really been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. How easy again to say, look, I love God, and then to follow it up with, but it doesn't really matter that much what his word says. Those are triangles that'll never be congruent. For them to fit together is a part of the pattern. Our respect reveals itself in our obedience. I remember back when I first learned to drive, if I could go back to the dangerous part of my earlier years. First of all, my granddaddy was the first to risk that. I think I was about 11. Just able to see above the dashboard and below the steering wheel, you know, like most of the people in southern Florida. You've ever been there? We have a friend who calls them Q-tips. They're little, they drive. That's the way I was driving, like this. And so My granddaddy says, now, son, I want you to learn how to drive this into the garage. And my first thought was, where's the garage? He says, now, you want to go in between these two posts and off drop the right fender from this little 39 Ford. He said, just back up, son. Back up and try that again and move a little further to the left. He didn't yell or scream. Then my mother should have said, but my grandfather said, just back up, son. And my mother never really understood small children, so let me leave it that way. So we got a fender dangling on the right side, and I'm backing up, and I put it in first gear. And you know, when you're learning to drive, you mix up brake and accelerator. I did that. There goes the left fender. He said, "I think I need a wider garage." Backed up, he said, "Don't worry about it. I can buy new fenders, but I can't buy new grandsons. Let's stay at it." I thought, you're the greatest man on the planet. Will you adopt me? Because I knew I had to go back to see my dad. And finally, my dad finished the job. And he would teach me. He would sit in this seat. I still remember it. By now, I'm older, 15. And I'm driving along, and he would say, "I want you to remember, son, when you learn to drive, you're on your own. Always think of it as if I'm still sitting right over here beside you. Don't forget that. You understand that, son?" I said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, 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 yes." So we'd drive along, and he'd say, turn right, boom, hit a curb. And I'd say, "Daddy, the curb wasn't there yesterday. It's amazing how they move these curbs." And finally, I learned, okay? I passed my driver's license. Helen Keller was my teacher, but that's another subject. Anyway, I'm behind the wheel, and my dad says, "Oh, good for you, son. I'm proud of you. Here are the keys. You got the car all to yourself. You can stay gone for 2 hours." Really? Yeah. First thought was, man, whew. Yes. What's the record in going from Houston to Galveston? Oh, I can set a new one. But it's interesting, I didn't do that. I backed out of the driveway like a 83-year-old woman. Part of the reason is my dad was standing at our screened-in porch watching me as I backed out. He says, "Go right on, turn." And I turned. And truth be told, I don't know that I drove over 40 miles an hour or that I was even gone an hour and a half. Why? Because I wasn't free to do that? No, I was free to do that. I was free to go far. But I respected my father. When you have a respect for your heavenly father, it does an amazing thing to your personal life. That's what verse 5 is teaching. Always remember, your obedience reveals how much you respect your Father. Verse 6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked, capital H, referring to Jesus. When you're looking for a hero to follow, choose Jesus. There's a ticket. When you're looking for a hero to follow, choose Jesus. Put your feet in his footsteps in the snow. Take your cues from his life. Study his ways and learn his style. Watch how he handled difficult people and impossible situations, and then go there. In fact, there's nothing really wrong with that saying that kids for the longest time wore on their wrist. What would Jesus do? What would he do if he were alone by himself in the house with the ability to get through the password on the computer and he's got all the internet in front of him? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if, you know, you're driving out of the church parking lot and somebody yells at you, maybe even cusses you right here? Thought I might as well make it real, so right out here in the church parking lot. I know what I would do in the flesh. I drive a pickup. Big. But you know, if in a moment of restraint, I think about what Jesus would do, it's amazing what it does to my tendency to retaliate. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just like he walked. Now, admittedly, I've kept this very, very simple. No big words, nothing all that complicated. Let's see how you do this week, class. Let's see how you do when you're out of the sand pile and you're playing with your friends, or in our case, you're working with them. Don't ever mess with stuff that gets you into trouble. When you foul up, remember somebody's in your corner, always. Behave yourself, since you're a member of the family, and no matter what you may say, your actions reveal the whole truth. Remember, obedience announces how much you respect your father. And if you're looking for a model, choose Jesus. By the way, don't get so involved in life you miss the wonder of it all. I close with Fulgham's words, wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup? The roots grow down and the plant grows up, and nobody really knows how or why. Well, we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice, even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. Everything you need to know is in there somewhere. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation, ecology and politics and equality and sane living. Take any one of those items and extrapolate it into sophisticated adult terms and apply it to your family life or your work or your government or your world, and it holds true and clear and firm. Think what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk about 3 o'clock every afternoon and then lay down on our blankies for a nap. Or if all governments had a basic policy to always put things back where they found them and to clean up their own messes. And it's still true, no matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it's best to hold hands and stick together. Of all the things I regret in growing up is that most of us become far too independent. We act like we don't need anybody. Oops. Until the doctor says, I think your spouse needs to come with you when you come back to the office. We got the results of the CT scan. Or until a subpoena is served and it has ugly words full of legalese that say the marriage is over. At those moments we go, what did I miss? Let's bow our heads together. I don't care how old you are chronologically. I don't care how mature you think you are psychologically or even spiritually. You need these family rules. Truth be told, we all need to clean up our own messes. If you're making a mess in somebody else's playground, you need to clean that up and get back where you belong. If you're lying through your teeth about being faithful and you're not, you need to confess that and get that straight. Your strutting around like you're the big deal does not change what God already knows. And if you've never met Jesus, you can't possibly be a follower of his. So start there. Lord Jesus Christ, I understand today that I really have gone the wrong direction. I've messed with stuff I shouldn't be messing with. I've made a mess of my life. And in all of my wrong, I come because I need somebody in my corner. Thank you for dying for me. I want to hold your hand the rest of my life. If you will do that, we can help you on the journey, but only you can make that decision. Do that now. You're not in such a hurry today. You've got time to stop by one of the prayer rooms staffed with very caring and compassionate people who understand grace and mercy and forgiveness. They'll help you get back on your feet. Our Father, we pause right now to thank you for teaching us out of the kindergarten class, as it were. Thank you for bringing us back to the basics and for writing it in such a way that people like us can get it. I pray it will make a difference in how we live with each other and how we live before you. And now to him who is able to guard us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. And everyone said, Amen.
Six very helpful guidelines coming from 1 John chapter 2. Chuck Swindoll has called these guidelines family rules for little children. You're listening to Insight for Living, and please stay with us because Chuck will conclude this week of Bible teaching by relaying some personal concerns. And to learn more about the ministry of Insight for Living, visit us online at insightworld.org. John doesn't water down his message. He's laser-focused on getting Christians to understand the critical importance of confronting our sin. It seems counterintuitive to be addressing this subject when the whole world is focused on the deadly coronavirus, but that's precisely the point. Sin is a deadly disease, and nothing is more important than discovering the cure. Every day at Insight for Living, we're at work behind the scenes to develop practical resources to help you walk in the light. And as we get started in this in-depth study of 1 John, I'd like to direct your attention to a wonderful resource written by our teacher. I'm referring to Swindoll's Living Insights New Testament Commentary on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, including the book of Jude. This book would make a tremendous complement to our study as we venture into 1 John together this summer. And you can purchase a hardbound copy right now by going to insight.org/offer. Or call us if you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Chuck?
Thank you, Dave. Many of us have relished the serendipities afforded by self-quarantine. The volume on our noisy lives has been silenced. It's forced us to be still. Families are exercising crazy habits like sitting at the table for an unhurried mealtime, and then actually lingering and chatting with one another after the meal is over. Even the jigsaw puzzle, normally saved for vacation times and maybe holidays, has made a comeback in many households, drawing families together for leisurely conversations. And while cars are parked in garages, rather than commuting bumper to bumper on highways, radio listening has actually gone up, not down. Commuters are finding new ways to hear Insight for Living through our mobile app, the daily podcast, and on our website. As a result, I felt the warmth of your presence, as though we are actually sitting together in the same room. During this pandemic, you've sent us letters and left comments on social media. You prayed for Cynthia and me and for Insight for Living Ministries. Many of you have given financially so we can continue the work God has called us to do. You've read about our field pastors in faraway lands. When I think of all those significant things, it's like we've actually been together. Isn't that amazing? Here's the paradox. God is using these days of isolation to actually draw us together under the banner of His purpose and His mission. to make disciples of Jesus Christ around the entire world. And for that reason, I come to you with boldness, and I invite you to join us in obeying His great commission. June 30 is the crucial deadline. On that day, we close the books on another year of ministry. In doing so, I'm appealing to you as a part of our partnership, our togetherness, and our shared vision to share the contagious, unstoppable love of the Lord. The global pandemic will not thwart His relentless pursuit of those who desperately need a touch of His grace. So please, please give generously to this end. And remember, you are not alone. And on this pandemic journey, we're going together. Remember that. We're in this journey together.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And to respond to the need, many have found the process very simple when using the Insight for Living mobile app. Just tap on the heart icon and follow the simple directions. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. To give a donation online, visit insight.org. Finally, as we enter the weekend, remember, you're invited to join the online worship service at Stonebriar Community Church, where Chuck Swindoll is senior pastor, every Sunday morning. For all the details on streaming the video, go to insight.org/Sundays. Join us again Monday when Chuck Swindoll describes the Believer's Badge, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Family Rules for Little Children, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.